The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Welcome to Truth Transforms. Join in for spiritually enlightening discussion and the practical application of new thought principles. Here's your host, Reverend Galen McDowell.
Welcome to Truth Transforms, Reverend Galen McDowell. I'm your host, Reverend Galen McDowell, and I'm the Executive Minister, Senior Assistant Minister, and the Director of the John Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, Illinois. I'm in the midst of a series titled Neville Goddard, Your Faith is Your Fortune. And it's based upon the book of the same title, Your Faith is Your Fortune, by Neville Goddard, who wrote by his pen name Neville. And I'm teaching the book chapter by chapter. This is some high-level metaphysics. And I'm hoping that you're enjoying the series. This is the fourth week I'll be teaching this series. And it's a lot of chapters, like 27 chapters. So I'll be teaching this book for a while. And I'm hoping that you get a lot of benefit from it, because I'm getting a lot of benefit from it just teaching it. So make sure that even before I start teaching this particular chapter, reach out to me on my Truth Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell Facebook page. Let me know. Inbox me. Let me know how this message is helping you. Let me know how it's supporting you and the podcast in general. You can do the same on Instagram. And, I have a Galen McDowell on Instagram, the one that actually has pictures and stuff. I have two. One is not used. That was for something else. But the one actually has pictures of me and my wife and all type of stuff. You can send me a message on that. But the quickest way I normally do things is through the Truth Transforms of Reverend Galen McDowell, because I check that specifically to make sure that I'm getting the messages from my listeners. So let's get to it. Your faith is your fortune, Neville. Today, we're studying chapter four, even though it's not necessarily, it has a table of contents. So yeah, it's called Whom Seek Ye? Whom Seek Ye? So he starts off by quoting John chapter 18, verse 8. I've told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. And then John 18, 6. As he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. And of course, he's going to be doing a metaphysical Bible interpretation of these texts. And one of the things I think it was interesting when he started this chapter off talking about how there are a lot of people chasing a lot of pseudo teachers to learn these quote unquote mysteries and promising this, esoteric knowledge without necessarily pointing people back to the truth of who they are in God and who God is in them. He talks about how, it's a weakness for human beings almost to want to follow up behind people and make somebody else their God, their, savior, their somebody, that so they don't have to think for themselves. They don't have to touch the presence of God within themselves. They don't have to recognize that God lives within them as the I am. So that's basically the first paragraph. I'm not going to read all of it, but or any of it really, except for one part where he says, when you've done all that fruitless effort trying to have a human being give you only what you can discover within yourself, he says, then they will turn from their worship of man, and in so doing discover that they are not, that which they are seeking is not to be found in another, for the kingdom of heaven is within. This realization will be their first real initiation. The lesson learned will be this: there's only one master, and this master is God, the I am within themselves. Again, there's only one master, and that master is God, the I am within themselves. People, as Reverend Ike used to say, stagger at their own divinity. They have a challenge really wrestling with the thought that God lives in me. Yes, God is omnipresent, everywhere equally present. All the presence there is, I get that. But your point of contact with this one presence, one power, one mind, one source, one substance, one love is within yourself. So the I am within you is God. So then he quotes a scripture, I am the Lord thy God who led thee out of the land of darkness, out of the house of bondage. And then he wrote, I am, your awareness, is Lord and Master. And besides your awareness, there's neither Lord nor Master. You are master of all that you will ever be aware of being. Oh. So now he's going right back to that awareness of being. So he's basically saying the Lord and Master that you are seeking to follow is your own awareness of being. Now, again, remember what I said, I mean, the last episode or the episode before that, that Neville Goddard is not doing a lot of, even at the spirit, soul, body level, a lot of separation. He's just speaking from a standpoint of oneness. So he's not even separating really, you know, soul consciousness, awareness from I am. He's like, look, all of that is just pure unformed awareness, unconditioned awareness. And then you have conditioned awareness that produces the results. One way or another, you're always talking about awareness of being. You're always talking about consciousness. And he just uses different terms to explain the same thing. So then he wrote, you know that you are, do you not? Knowing that you are is the Lord and Master of that which you know you are. In other words, your consciousness is always the Lord and Master of the demonstration. Your consciousness, your awareness of being is always the Lord and Master of what is manifesting in experience. In other words, you should never be the slave to the experience because your consciousness is the Lord and Master of it. Because the unconditioned awareness became a conditioned awareness to produce a particular thing. And I just want to make sure that that gets across. Now, that might sound real busy, but I just want you to think about it from the standpoint that that Reverend Coleman, the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, used to say all the time in a real simple way. I am the thinker that thinks the thought that makes the thing. I am the thinker that thinks the thought that makes the thing. All right. Then he wrote, he hit some real home runs in this paragraph. And he said, you could be completely isolated by man from that which you are conscious of being, yet you would, in spite of all human barriers, effortlessly draw to yourself all that you are conscious of being. What does he mean? He wrote it this way. The man who is conscious of being poor does not need the assistance of anyone to express poverty. Oh, man. The man who is conscious of being sick, though isolated in the most hermetically sealed, germ-proof area in the world, would express sickness. Now, let's flip that. The man who is conscious, or the person who is conscious of prosperity, does not need the assistance of anyone to express his or her prosperity. What this is saying is your consciousness will produce through divine law where you are in your awareness. And the situations and circumstances have to be produced. They have to attract because you are a mental field that is always radiating and attracting. So by divine law, you have to experience that which you are conscious of being. That's why some people, no matter where they go, they find trouble. And other people, no matter where they go, they find blessings. How is that the same? How does that happen? You know, you can have a situation where, you know, no matter how often you go out, and it's that particular friend, it always gets into it with the person. You know, I can remember those days, you know, when, you know, the going out and partying days, and there were situations and circumstances of people I knew that were always getting into it with people. So I knew, okay, well, I don't need to be going to the party with that person. Why? Because I'm not here to fight. I'm here to have fun. Well, it's the same thing with consciousness. Some people will draw unto them drama, arguments, fights. And there are other people who find blessings, prosperity, peace, love, and joy, regardless of the circumstances. What they don't see when they get there, they create. what they don't see when they get there, they attract. Because that's what they're conscious of being. Moving on. He wrote, "There's no barrier to God, for God is your awareness of being. Regardless of what you are aware of being, you can and do express it without effort. Stop looking for the master to come. He is with you always." Now, so how you show up as your dominant states of consciousness will express itself without you thinking. Why? Because it is habit. It's not just physical habit. It's mental habits that show up as physical expression. The way you do certain things are just habitual. And habit is a good thing, except when habit is working against you. Now, if habit is showing up as your actions through your dominant ways of thinking, then is it possible that habit is also showing up metaphysically? Is it showing up as what you are radiating, your mental energy, and what you are attracting back into your experience? So you always have to meet yourself. As Reverend Ike would say, "I meet no one but me." As the Science of Mind minister Tom Johnson used to say, you're always your own experience. It's always the same thing over and over again. All right. All right. So then he went really in on this page. He wrote, "There are no ascended masters. Banish this superstition. You will forever rise from one level of consciousness master to another. In so doing, you manifest the ascended level, expressing the newly acquired consciousness." He's basically saying we're putting these, you know, people in bodies and not in bodies on levels of importance beyond let me say this nicely. We're putting people on pedestals from the past, or who we think is some ascended person now or masters now. And I'm not saying that that's not legitimate or not, but not from the standpoint of the fact that God lives in you as the I am. And the idea is you will continue to grow through this eternity that we call life, not just your physical expression now, because you preceded birth and you will transcend what we call death. But when you recognize that you're always in a process of becoming, that means that if God is limitless, then there's no limit to growth. So wherever you are in consciousness and wherever you think somebody else is in consciousness, there's always more. There's always more. More to the level that if the person at the level of consciousness could really explain it, we would understand. What does it really mean to say I'm one with God? What does that really mean? Like, really mean? And it's easy words to say, harder to live. When you really think about it, and just think about the known universe, let alone the spiritual, let alone quantum fields and all this other stuff, just the known, regular Newtonian physics world with solar systems, galaxies, et cetera, the universe, string theory, if we want to go there now, and then quantum physics and all of this astrophysics and all of it, just what we know is mind-blowing. And then there's more that we have no idea about. We can't even explain what we currently have. What does it really mean to say I'm one with God? It's just a thought. So, back to the book. All right. He wrote, "Consciousness being Lord and Master, you are the master magician conjuring that which you are now conscious of being. For God, consciousness calleth those things which be not as though they were." Things that are not now seen will be seen the moment you become conscious of being that which is not now seen. So in other words, why is it not showing up? Because you're not conscious of being it. It's sort of like, you know, the story Les Brown told me, and I think I've told you this before, where he said that when he initially, before he went to the motivational speaking world, he was actually one of Reverend Coleman's ministers in the Universal Foundation for Better Living. Christ Universal Temple is his home church. And when he, after he did the training, you know, to get ordained and all of that stuff, become a teacher, then to get ordained, all the good stuff. And so he was exceptional because he still looks exceptional. He started a study group and he couldn't get anybody in it initially. He had like 8 people. And at one of the meetings, when all the leaders would get together, the churches, the study groups, et cetera, the board, he asked Johnny, you know, how come he only had 8 people in the study group? And Johnny told him, because you have an 8 people consciousness. That's hard hit. He said, man, if I could have crawled under that table, I would have. But it motivated him, like, okay, so you're telling me if I can rise in consciousness, this could be different? If I can embody in consciousness the expansion of the people, then I'll be led creatively on what to say, what to do, how to market, how to manage, how to teach them, how to whatever. Circumstances and situations will be created that will draw people to me. The circumstances will come together for the fulfillment of my new level of consciousness. Oh, man, let me get on this. And the rest is history. Nobody can say now he has an 8 people consciousness. He has millions of people consciousness, tens of millions of people consciousness, possibly hundreds of millions of people consciousness. Why? Because he did his internal work. All right. So we're going to take a quick break here. I do want to remind you yet again about this, my Facebook page, Truth Transforms, Reverend Galen McDowell. You know, Instagram, you can reach out to me. I want to hear from you. I want to hear how this program is helping you. It matters to me. It matters to me a lot. So please, you know, I'm asking, I'm saying, please, let me know. Send me a message through the Truth Transforms Reverend Galen McDowell Facebook page or my Instagram page. And let me know how this page, how this channel, this podcast is helping you. How is it supporting you do what you do? I would greatly appreciate it. I respond personally. I don't have a person responding for me. So if you send a message, I will respond. I appreciate that. We'll be right back with Truth Transformed. Welcome back to Truth Transforms. I'm still in the midst of teaching Neville Goddard, Your Faith is Your Fortune. And let me get right back to it. I'm teaching a chapter, Whom Seek Ye. All right? So, Neville Goddard goes on to write, this rising from one level of consciousness to another is the only ascension that you will ever experience. No man can lift you to the level you desire. The power to ascend is within yourself. It is your consciousness. You appropriate the consciousness of the level you desire to express by claiming that you are now expressing such a level. So what he's saying, I really want you to get this. You have to start claiming the level of consciousness that you want to be on before it actually is a fact. You have to entertain the possibility in your mind. This is why you have to shift your state. Now, I talked about a little bit about that last week. He gave some exercises, which really go back to getting into a meditative, contemplative space and seeing yourself where you want to be, backing it up with affirmation, feeling, allowing yourself to be open and receptive. And some of this is the mystical part where you have to work with and work on beyond the human sense of nothing is happening, or the beyond the human sense of boredom, or the beyond the human sense of distraction. When you can, in a calm, relaxed, but focused state, be in the consciousness, at least temporarily, that you want to be in. And as you continue to go back there, if you establish it as a new state. So you're affirming the truth. You're seeing the truth. You're feeling the truth. You're believing the truth until you express the truth. That's the process. Now, there are many ways to do that process that I just mentioned, but you got to see it. You got to feel it. You got to believe it. You got to say it, so you can experience it as your new normal. You have to release the old paradigm for a new one. All right, back to the book. Okay. Turning the page, there's so much good stuff in here, but it's, like I said before, it's only so much you can teach out of a chapter. I want you to get the book and read it yourself. On my book, page 30, he wrote, "Do you believe that I am is able to do this? Then claim me to be that which you want to see poured out. Claim yourself to be that which you want to be and that you shall be. Not because of masters I will give it unto you, but because you have recognized me, yourself, to be all that. I will give it unto you, for I am all things to all." Yet again, mystical language. So yet again, he's saying, do you believe that God in you can accomplish that which you desire? If so, claim that power, that power and presence works in, through, and as you. Claim yourself to be that which you desire to be. Now, that doesn't mean walking around with the, I am the Christ t-shirt on. But in your mind, you have to start affirming, I am the Christ. Or I am God in expression. Or I am the divine image and likeness of God. I am the wholeness of God. I am the love of God. I am the peace of God. I am the abundance of God. What are you doing? You're shifting and you're sitting in that space. It's not, as Jesus would say, vain repetition. It's not just parroting words. It's getting into a state where you're shifting energetically. This is why I'm such a big proponent of get still, relax, sit somewhere comfortably, and put your phone on do not disturb and whatever you got to do, and be in that space yourself. So you can find the God in you. Hear me when I say that. So you can find the God as you. So you can find the God through you. So you can find that your awareness of being is Lord and Master. All right. Then he wrote, I love this. Your belief in masters is a confession of your slavery. Only slaves have masters. Change your conception of yourself and you will, without the aid of masters or anyone else, automatically transform your world to conform to your changed conception of yourself. Now, I agree with this 100%. And I have a caveat. Neville Goddard had a teacher. His name was Abdullah, the black man who taught him basically Jewish and Christian mysticism. From my understanding, the man primarily was a teacher of Jewish mysticism. Neville Goddard was taught metaphysics and mysticism by somebody. So normally when you get to a certain state where Neville was when he wrote this book, this book came out initially in 1941. So maybe he was less than 10 years from being taught by Abdullah. He was in a state now where he was mastering where he was in consciousness. He was well taught, and now he's working on his own because Abdullah left. And, you know, people are still trying to figure out who the heck Abdullah was. There's some good theories, by the way, I bumped across. My point is this. There is sometimes a necessity for human teachers, as long as you understand that the human teacher is giving you structure, giving you principles, giving you techniques, so you can find the God in you. I always point people back to the God in themselves, because it's easy for me to give the Galen McDowell answer. And it might be really on point, because I'm good at what I do. Not bragging, just my position. But if I make people reliant solely on my interpretation, my point of view, my way of teaching, then I rob them of the ability to recognize that my primary responsibility is to point you back to the God in you. It's like Bruce Lee said in Enter the Dragon to the little boy. It's like a finger pointing at the moon. If you concentrate on the finger, you miss all the heavenly glory. That's the difference. I'm a finger pointing at the moon. The moon is in you. The light is in you. The power is in you. All right. All right. He goes on to say, you are told in the book of Numbers that there was a time when men were in their own eyes as grasshoppers, and because of this conception of themselves, they saw giants in the land. This is true of man today as it was the day it was recorded. Man's conception of himself is so grasshopper-like that he automatically makes the conditions round about him appear gigantic. In his blindness, he cries out for masters to help him fight his giant problems. Yet again, can only be where you are in consciousness. But recognize that you create the giant. It's your perception that creates the giant situation. Because you have to remember, understanding determines if something is a problem or not. Understanding determines if something is a problem or not. Understanding determines if something is a problem or not. What does that mean? You've heard me say it before. I remember being at the Super Target in a suburb of Chicago. Come out, my truck, not the current one before this one, wouldn't start. So, you know, I'm trying to get this SUV to start. Call my insurance company. Hey, I need to get towed to the dealership. When the guy gets there, I've been there waiting maybe 30, 45 minutes. It was a busy day that day. And he said, okay, before I tow it though, you know, you're just taking it to the dealership. I'm like, yeah, I'm not taking it home. He said, okay, well, let me just take a look under the hood. He's looking for about 30 seconds. He says, try to start it now. Started immediately. Now, here's the thing. What is the difference between me and that tow truck guy? Understanding. His understanding of automobiles made what was a problem to me not a problem for him. Now, of course, I drove it to the and got the whatever the underlying issue was that caused it to happen fixed at the dealership. But the only difference between being stranded and not stranded was understanding. The only difference between the SUV moving and not moving was understanding. That's it. No more, no less. Understanding the terms of something is a problem or not. So something isn't gigantic because it's inherently gigantic. It's gigantic because from your perception, it's a big problem because you don't understand how to handle it. So now it's a problem. It's like having a child who's having a hissy fit, you know, crying and whining and tantrums or whatever because they can't make something work. And you're looking from your adult perspective, realizing, let me just show you how to do this, sweetie. And then you do it really quickly and they stop crying because you didn't see it as a problem. You just saw this something when you do this, this, and this, it works. Well, when you function from higher levels in anything, whether it's spirituality, whether it's mechanics, engineering, computer stuff, it doesn't make a difference what it is. If you have a better, firmer understanding, it's not a problem. It doesn't mean it won't take work, but it's not a problem because you know what to do. Well, when you start to ascend in spiritual consciousness, things that used to be or look gigantic to you, like gigantic problem, won't even register because you're so in tuned with the I am in you. All right. Okay. I'm skipping a few pages so I can wrap this up. He wrote, man fails to do the works of Jesus Christ because he attempts to accomplish them from his present level of consciousness. You will never transcend your present accomplishments through sacrifice and struggle. Your present level of consciousness will only be transcended as you drop the present state and rise to a higher level. So in other words, people are trying to do great things from lower levels of consciousness. This is why sometimes when you go to hear somebody saying, this is how you can make money, and this is this new strategy, and then you do it and it don't work. Or everybody I know, except for these few people, were able to do it, did it, and didn't get the results, but a few people do. Sometimes that has everything to do with just the level of consciousness that a person is functioning on. You can't make it work. Does not mean it can't work. It just means you can't make it work where you are at your skill level, at your understanding level, at your consciousness level. Sometimes it's just energetically you can't make it work. It's like going to a party and you know, I'm just using, you know, when I was a younger guy, we want to go to the party and you want to get the girl's number, you know, we're teenagers. Your buddy walks up to this girl. She ignores him, doesn't give him the number. You walk up energetically, sometimes saying the same thing, grew up in the same neighborhood, cross the street, go to the same school. Maybe it's the look. Maybe it's the energy, but something's different. All right. So how do you rise in consciousness, drop the old one and pick up the new? He wrote, you rise to a higher level of consciousness by taking your attention away from your present limitation and placing it upon that which you desire to be. Do not attempt this in daydreaming or wishful thinking, but in a positive manner. Claim yourself to be the thing desired, the I am. I am that, no sacrifice, no diet, no human tricks. All that I ask of you is to accept your desire. So in other words, you rise by pulling your attention off of what you don't want and putting your attention on what you do want and keeping it there and being in it. Remember, you got to see it. You got to feel it. You got to believe it. You got to say it. That's the process. So we're going to stop here. Next week, we're going to do Who Am I? That's the next chapter. We're going to make this stuff work, and we're going to get demonstrations. And when you get demonstrations from working this, I also want you to reach out to me and let me know. I want you to reach out to me and let me know the results you're getting. God bless you, and I'll be with you next week with True Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell. Take care.
Are you ready to ignite your best life and illuminate the world? I'm Stephanie James. I'm a motivational speaker, transformation coach, and psychotherapist. And what lights me up is helping people just like you create the greatest versions of themselves. On my podcast, Igniting the Spark, I will help you ignite your joy and reach new heights in your personal and professional life. Join me for some incredible conversations with authors, spiritual teachers, and other influential thought leaders to help guide you on your way. If you are ready to stop playing small, join me for Igniting the Spark on the mindbodyspirit.fm network or wherever you get your podcasts, and ignite your best life.